If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along with me this morning, I'm going to be reading from the very first Psalm. The psalmist was a man who was quite a musician. Most of them are psalms. And so we don't sing most of them. Why? There are some of them that are still sung. If you are looking to find out how to be happy, all you've got to do is read the first Psalm. You don't have to read any more than that. It's kind of like the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's really all you need, is the Lord as your shepherd. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Three ways to keep your life to be happy. And I've said this a number of times. I still say it again this morning. I believe it with everything there is about me, that if there is any people upon the face of the earth that should be people that are happy, who should look happy, who should act happy, and should be happy, it's God's people. Unfortunately, sometimes we leave the impression that to be a child of God is pure misery, that it's pure torture, and that it is so hard and so trying all the days that I can't imagine why anyone would want to be a child of God, just quite frankly with you. But let me tell you, it's altogether different that if we as His children will pay attention to what He says to us, what He teaches us in His Word, and we do some of the things that He teaches. Now, please understand that I believe with everything there is about me that each one of us are going to have some trials in our lives. Each one of us are going to have some tough times. Each one of us are going to have some times whenever that we feel like we're the only person in the world who's ever gone through what we're going through, and that there isn't anyone else who understands, including the Lord, many times. But let me assure you this morning, of all the people that would understand, He is the one who would understand better than anyone else. I preached last Sunday morning that there are some times when we must bear our own burdens. And we all have that we need to understand. But with everything that can be dealt to us as we live here upon the face of the earth, for the most part, I would say this morning that most of us would have to say we are fortunate, we are blessed, and God has been so gracious and so good to us to allow us to be one of His children and to offer us the blessings without measure if we are willing to pay attention to what He says and to do what He teaches in His Word. Don't think for a single second that everything's going to be automatic. Don't think for a second that you're entitled to many of the things that God has promised in His Word, because you're not. Every single one of us are sinners who've been saved by the grace of God, and every day of our lives we're going to continue to sin. That does not give us a license to do that, but I just want you to be sure to understand that that's going to happen in our lives. There are some things that He teaches us in His Word, though, that we can do that can cause us to have a happier life. Now, Joyce mentioned this morning about helping and being good to other people and being kind to other people. And that doesn't cost us anything. It may cost us if we're not. And I can assure you this morning that I've been on both sides of that coin. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't have to ask someone else. I know from experience what it is to be unkind. And I know not only what that does to the other person, but I also know what it does to me. And it isn't something that I take a great amount of pride in to be able to stand here and tell you that this morning. But just so that you understand that I do know what I'm talking about, I've been there. I know how that feels. I know how it is to be the person who has dished out that unkindness. I've also known what it is to be the recipient of unkindness. And neither side of that is anything that we should enjoy. So it doesn't hurt. Doesn't cost us much to be kind. Doesn't cost us nearly as much as it does to be unkind. The psalmist said, "Blessed is the man. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Sometimes We just need to stop and think, who is it that we're paying attention to? Who is it that we're following? Who is it that we are listening to and putting our thoughts and our minds to possibly following the advice or the recommendations that those people are giving? There are many times that we follow people, and there are many times that we do things that if we really just stop and think about them, we say, why in the world am I doing that? I challenge every child of God sometimes, just take a little time off, get off by yourself, and sit down and begin to think about some of the things that you do and say, why do I do that? Why do I do that? And I think that we'll find out that many times we're doing things because that's what other people expect us to do. That's what we think other people expect out of us. We're not doing those things just because we want to, but we're doing those things because we feel like that that's what's expected of us. Now, please don't misunderstand me. There are some expectations of each one of us, especially those of us who profess to be a child of God. For those of us who've been saved, we do have some responsibility and we do have some obligations under the Lord. We're supposed to act like it. We're supposed to live like it. We're supposed to look like it. We're supposed to behave like that we are one of His children and that He can take pride in us and He can bless us. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Just pay attention to who it is that you're following. Pay attention to the advice that you're receiving. Pay attention to preachers. Pay attention to teachers. Pay attention to your neighbors. Pay attention to your spouses. See what it is that is being said. And then you weed out what are those things that maybe you're not comfortable with or maybe that they're just not exactly right. You know, the best counterfeit there is one that looks just exactly like the genuine thing. And many times we'll find out that many things that are being told to us, many things that are being said, many things that are being preached are so close to the truth, but just not all of the truth. God's word is truth. You can bank on that. You need to be able to say, you know what? If that preacher gets up there and preaches something that I'm questioning a little bit, then what you need to do is go to the Word. You can come to me. That's probably maybe the first or the second thing you need to do is come and say, now, wait a minute, preacher. You preached something up there today that I'm not real sure is right. Well, you're not going to offend me to come. Now, if you go tell everybody else first, and then you come and tell me, well, I checked with several other people to find out whether they thought you were right or not. You didn't do it right. You didn't do it right. You're supposed to come to me first. I'm supposed to go to you first if I think the same thing. Let me tell you something, though. The best thing you can do is go and say, what does the Word of the Lord say? What does He say in His Word? And so we need to be sure that we've got that foundation. I never get tired of quoting to you the scripture that says, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's not just enough to study it. We need to be sure that we are understanding what the word of the Lord says. How do we understand it? We ask Him again, and He blesses us with giving us the knowledge, gives us the understanding. And so we need to be careful as to the counsel that we're following. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. The light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We need to understand this morning that each one of us are an example. And we are being watched as one of His children. I recognize that as the pastor here and as a preacher that I have some additional roles here that most of you do not have, but you have expectations of me as a preacher. You have expectations of me as a pastor. Now, I don't always meet all of your expectations, and to some of you, I've been sorely disappointing to you in that respect. But let me tell you something. As a child of God, I have even a greater responsibility than I do to you as a pastor or than I do to you as a preacher. As one of His children, it is my responsibility to see that I live as He teaches in His Word. That's not your responsibility. You can't live my life for me. Neither can I live your life for you. Every single one of us. That's a hard lesson. I tell people every once in a while, one of the hardest lessons that I've had to learn, and I still am working on it, is to be able to let my children live their own lives. I want to tell them often how I think they ought to be doing or what I think they ought to be doing. And sometimes I get so disgusted with what they think and what they say and what they do. And I think, my Lord, how can that be my child? Now see, my daughter's going to see this, and she's going to know that. Yeah, she watches every sermon I preach. She's more faithful, and she'll call me. She called me this week, and she said, "Dad, I just thoroughly enjoyed you coming over that part about testimony meetings." And she said, "And I remember as a little girl when we were going to church in Calvary, and every so often there'd be a testimony meeting." And she said, "You know, us kids would sit back and think, oh my, how long is this going to go on?" She said, "We just thought that was terrible, and sometimes it took the entire service, testimony meeting. But now then," she's thinking, "you know what, that wasn't nearly as bad, and I remember those things." You see, sometimes we leave lasting impressions with other people. But the point that I'm going to get across is that much as I'd like to live their lives for them, I cannot live their lives for them. I should not be trying to live their lives for them. And that's difficult for me to not want to be able to tell them what I think they need to be doing or should not be doing, whatever the case may be. And it's just as difficult for you, I'm sure, to not want to tell me what I need to be doing up here or how I need to be doing or why I need to be doing it. And so sometimes you just can't hold it any longer. You got to let me know. That's all right. I'll take it. I may not change. But let me tell you something. What I do know this is that I have a responsibility as a child of God to live for Him and let my light shine that others might see my good works and what? Glorify my Father which is in heaven. Why are we doing the things that we do? Why? Why did you come in here this morning? Did you just come in here to fill a pew? I doubt it. You came in here, I hope, for other reasons than that. There are several reasons that you could be here. And if I were to go through the congregation and ask each one of you, I'd find out that there are several different reasons that some of you come. Now, why did we sing the songs that we sung this morning? Do you have any idea? Why did we pray? Why did we receive the offering? Why am I up here preaching? You ever think about things like that? Or do we just get to work? Well, that's what we're supposed to do. We're just doing it because that's what we're supposed to do. Sometimes we need to think about things. Why is it that it's important that we represent the Lord? I'm going to tell you exactly why it's important. It's more important than how many people we've got here this morning. It's more important than me being up here as a preacher. And that is that there are many people out here who are lost today who need to be saved. And those people are looking at you and I as one of God's children, and they're looking at our lives, and they're looking at our behaviorisms, and they're looking at the way that we talk about the Lord, and that we serve the Lord, and we worship the Lord, and they're looking to see, first of all, what they can find wrong with us. I'll tell you, they're not looking to see what you're doing right. They're looking to see what you're doing wrong. You know why? Because they are serving Satan. And Satan's going to point out every fault and every flaw that you've got to them. He can bring that to their attention a lot faster than he would bring the fact to you to say, well, you know what? Velma and Sherry got up and sang a special this morning, and they were singing Praise Unto the Lord. You think he's going to go out here to some of these old lost people and say, you know, you ought to try to be thankful for them? No. He's going to turn around and he's going to say, look at that old scandal that belongs to that Elkton Baptist Church up there that hasn't been there for 6 months. That's who he'll point to. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now we're getting down to the brass tacks. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. All of my years in preaching the gospel, and I'm going to get through here. I've been watching some of the times that I've been preaching. I'm getting longer all the time, so I've got to cut this out. So I'm going to start working on that again. But sometimes all of my years of preaching, there have been people who do nothing excepting sit on the sideline and find fault and criticize those who are trying to do something for the Lord. They are not about to do anything themselves that would be beneficial to the cause. They're not going to lift one finger to do the work that the Lord has taught in His Word they're supposed to be doing. But I will guarantee you there won't be anyone who can be any faster than to tell you when you're not doing it the way that it should be done. Now, how do they know that? Well, first of all, they've not studied the Word of the Lord. They're too lazy to do that. Most of the time, they've heard some quack get up and tell them something that they like to hear, and that pleased them, and so they're going to base their judgment on something like that instead of getting into the Word of the Lord. Or it may be such a thing as they're just going to listen to Satan straight out and say, you know what, the best thing you can do is cause problems and create trouble and stir up confusion and cause all kinds of turmoil among those people. Let me tell you something. Blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. It's easy to be critical of anyone or everyone else. It really is. The unfortunate thing is that many times we do not know and we do not realize what that person may be going through at that time in their life. They may be in that situation, as I spoke of earlier, where they feel like that nobody else in the world has ever experienced what they're going through right then. Now, the truth of the matter is that's rare that that could ever happen. But we feel that way sometimes. And so rather than helping and encouraging that person and trying to reach down a hand and help them up, the easiest thing is to do is to find fault with them. Same thing with the church. You know, it's easy to find fault with a church because you've got a bigger number that you can pull from. And all you have to do is just find one out of the group. Or they can do something that you don't like or you don't approve of. And so it's all wrong because I don't approve of it. Let me tell you something. My early years of a pastor, and I used to get so mad sometimes at the business meeting, I'd go home and I'd say to Shirley, I'm quitting. I am not going back there and put up with that nonsense one more week. I'd call up my favorite deacon in the church on Wednesday night, 10 o'clock at night. It didn't matter to me if it was 12 o'clock of the night. I'd call him up. I was mad enough, and I'd say, John, I'm resigning. I'm not going to put up with that nonsense anymore. I don't have to. Now, just calm down a little bit, John would say. And, you know, we'd talk for a while, and he'd kind of talk me back down to earth again. Well, I don't recall that I ever went ahead and submitted my resignation at a time like that. Because I'll tell you what, if I had him, I'd have quit. I'm not one of these preachers who's going to stand up here and say, well, you know what? I'm starting to feel a little bit like I may be going to quit. When I feel like I'm going to quit, I'll quit. You'll know it that quick, too. There won't be any of this. Well, please don't. Please don't. That doesn't have any bearing with me whatsoever. Well, let me tell you something. It's easy to find fault with that other person. It's easy to sit in the seat of the scornful. It's easy to find fault with all those who are in the work of the Lord. Happy is the man, though, who does not do that. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit season. Whatsoever he doeth will prosper and will not wither. On and on and on. You have to read the rest of it. I'm through.